Hello, and thank you for listening to the Teaching Math Teaching Podcast. The Teaching Math Teaching Podcast is sponsored by the Association of Mathematics Teacher Educators, a community of math teacher educators learning to teach math teachers better. I'm your co-host, Joel Ambadon, and joining me is Dusty Jones. Hey, Dusty, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joel. Really excited for today's conversation.
That's right. In this conversation, we are talking with Dr. Barbara King, Associate Professor of Teaching and Learning at Florida International University, Dr. Siddhi Desai, Assistant Professor at Farley Dickinson University, and then Dr. Justin Burris, Clinical Associate Professor at the University of Houston, and Sheila Orr, a Doctoral Candidate in Curriculum, Instruction, and Teacher Education at Michigan State University. We are talking to everyone because they are members of the AMTE Equity Committee in the Division of Advocacy, Equity, and Research, and they are going to share their work with the Equity Book Club, how their study on AMTE presentations led to changes in the proposal system and conference format, and the importance of getting involved and helping others get involved in organizational leadership. All right. Hello, everybody. We're going to go around the room and get a chance to say hi to everyone, but then also just get to see, did we miss anything? All right. So let's go. Barbara, anything we missed in your introduction that we already shared?
No, but I did want to just take a second to thank you and Dusty for having us on and to mention that we have two additional members of the Equity Committee that aren't here today, Mary Rigoza from St. Mary's College and Missy Crosby from the University of Tennessee, Knoxville.
Oh, fantastic. So, Sheila, anything you want to share beyond your description? Anything?
No, thank you for having me on. I will hopefully, in a month from now, when we are recording, be an actual doctor. I'm defending my dissertation on June 5th. So right. Fingers crossed to that. But
yeah, awesome.
Other than that, now it's out there in the world, so it better be true. Yeah.
Well, shameless plug for the AMTE, what was it, the manuscript review groups, right? Sheila and I had a chance to do some conversing in Henderson, Nevada, when AMTE, the conference was there. So it's exciting to hear like that's coming to a head. Hey, Siddhi, how are you? Anything you want to share beyond just initial hellos?
No, I think you covered all of it, and I'm excited to be on the podcast again.
Awesome. And hello, Justin. Nice to meet you. And anything you want to share?
Everything sounded great. Excited to be here and share with you all.
Awesome. So again, we're sharing a bunch of different things. We got the work that y'all are doing with the committee. And again, thank you, Barbara, for also sharing the additional people that couldn't join us for this conversation. So we'd like to start off with, hey, how did you start teaching math teachers? And what is the best advice you received when you started teaching math teachers? So Barbara, you want to kick us off?
Sure. Thank you. For as long as I can remember, I wanted to be a math teacher, and I ended up teaching high school math for 10 years. And while I love being in the classroom and working with the students, I realized that I was happiest when I was like planning and thinking about the best way to teach my students, more so than when I was actually in the classroom. And so this took me down a path of like getting more involved with professional development, and which ultimately led me to go back to school and get my PhD. And so my hope is that I can have a broader impact on the field of education by sharing my love for teaching or for planning and my knowledge of planning to help others who enter teaching, maybe because their main focus is a love for children instead of like a love for how can you best teach mathematics. As for the best advice that I've received, I think more than getting advice, what was most powerful to me was to see the modeling of my professors in graduate school and the patience that they had in the classroom and the time that they gave students to think and figure things out. And this is, I'm constantly reminding myself when I'm teaching, like, be patient, give time, like, don't take over the students' thinking, let them develop this on their own. And that was really from the modeling that I got in graduate school that I learned to do that.
Nice. Let's take it from there. Justin, you want to go from there? How did you get started teaching math teachers, and what's some advice that you received?
Sure. Actually, my undergraduate degree is in elementary education, so I actually wanted to be a teacher and teach those younger kids.
Yeah.
So I spent 17 years in elementary schools working with primary students through fourth grade, and then as a math coach, and then kind of eventually matriculated into the university. Someone said, hey, Justin, why don't you try teaching this class? And I guess I've been trying it for about 8 years now. And I do love it. It was very similar to what I was doing in the elementary schools as a math coach. A couple of things I think about as a math teacher educator is, and two questions that kind of guide me when I think about teaching future teachers is, when do teacher candidates see themselves in our math courses? When is their culture, their community, their lived experiences evident in my classes? And that includes the videos that we watch, the authors of the texts and the journals, and even podcasts. So I think about how our students reflected in all of those things that happen in the classroom. And then another question I always ask myself is, when do teacher candidates practice the practice of teaching math in my class? I'm a firm believer that we don't practice on children, right? Mm-hmm. So that practice happens in the classroom with me coaching them and giving them feedback during that class. So those are two guiding questions that kind of help me as a math teacher educator.
Love it. Love it. And Siddhi, you were a previous guest on the Teaching Math Teaching podcast, but I'm curious, is there anything to highlight with that that journey, and maybe even have some additional advice to share?
Sure. So yeah, I think kind of talking about this question, so I started off as an undergrad major. I was in secondary teacher education. And so after finishing that, I taught in middle school and high school for a couple of years, but I had the opportunity to engage in undergrad math education research during my time at the College of New Jersey with Farshid Safi. And so while teaching middle school and high school, the goal all along was to eventually get my doctorate, because that was something that through some of that research really enjoyed doing that and wanted to make a bigger impact beyond just in the K-12 classroom. And so I had the opportunity to go to University of Central Florida and work with phenomenal mentors and now phenomenal colleagues such as Farshid Safi, Sarah Bush, Janet Andreessen, and so many others. And I think all of that kind of just has led to where I am currently with working with elementary and secondary pre and in-service teachers. And in terms of advice, I think the best advice I've gotten is just focusing on the students that we teach, right? So we teach as math teacher educators, our focus is on teaching the math content or the math pedagogy. But beyond that, the focus should really be on the students that are in our classroom or the people that are in our classroom. So we often talk about rehumanizing mathematics and really needing to keep the students and the people that we have the opportunity to engage with at the center and the focus of our work.
Nice. Nice. That's beautiful. Sheila, how about you? How'd you get started on this journey?
So I was a high school math teacher. And then my role into graduate school was kind of like I was perfectly, I still joke with my advisor, like I could go back and teach high school any day. Like I loved it. I loved high schoolers. So I actually, while Dr. Frances Harper was at Michigan State doing her graduate work, she did a lot of work in my classroom and came into my classroom, and she was teaching a methods course, and they had a like, oh, we need a new mentor teacher real quick. Like this thing happened. And so she was like, hey, Sheila, I know you didn't sign up for it, but like, will you mentor these two seniors? And I was like, sure, why not? And I loved it. Like I loved getting to work with the pre-service teachers. I loved getting to talk to them about like some of the things I was trying in my classroom and why I was trying them. And so kind of then also like through her, I like had this vision of like, oh, you can like, teacher education is this thing. And like, here's the pathway you would take to it. So then as I like took on and I had some student teachers in my classroom as the years went on, and I kind of just really always kept that in the back of my mind. And so then after year 8, I decided to like make the jump and try graduate school out. And I fell in love with teaching future teachers. I think they're so fun. They're in some ways so much like, they probably don't love me saying this, so much like high schoolers and like how they like joke around and like, they're just so great. And I think that kind of goes with the best advice I received when I first started. When I first started, I felt like it was so high stakes. Like I always thought like, oh, if I mess up in my math class, I see them the next day. I can like fix that. I can be like, hey, that thing I told you, it's wrong. Mm-hmm. But when I started teaching like pre-service teachers, I was like, I only see them once a week. If I mess up, like it could be in their head and then it'll hurt their future students. And my advisor, Sandra Crespo, really reminded me like, no, you were doing good work. Keep reminding, like keep being true to who you are. And like, you can still tell them it's okay that you messed up. And like, it honestly, you telling them that will make it so like they remember that more than whatever it was that you messed up on. So I think just like being able to be open with your students is also really important when you go into teacher education, not just like what we tell our students to do with high school kids or elementary school kids.
Nice. Nice. Of Sandra being brought up too. That's like, yeah, we like her a lot here.
Love her.
So we're going to go right back at you, Sheila, with the second question. So what is a word, phrase, quote, and or visual that helps you center the work you do in teaching math teachers?
When I was thinking on this, when I was looking at the questions, I think the word that kept coming back to me is community. Mm-hmm. And not just like as a teacher, I tried to build community in my classroom. And so I try to like build connections, especially in our earlys methods courses where the students are coming from the math department, but they maybe haven't all identified each other as like their people yet. They're like, oh, we all want to be high school math teachers. So building a community with them, but then also thinking about how, so because I went to graduate school very close to where I was a teacher, like thinking about how can we bring in the community around us into our teacher education program and like really draw on these strengths within and the connections that I had in the community to do teacher education, which then helps them when they go out into the field, because I kind of have like some contextualized knowledge of what's happening in the schools that they're getting placed in.
Yeah, absolutely. Does that build off of anyone else's like word, phrase, quote, visual?
Mine is Justin.
Go for it, Justin.
Yeah, mine is relationships. So very closely related to Sheila. Yeah. You know, math study of relationships. And then I think about we need to have relationships with our students to be culturally responsive to them and their needs. And then we also need relationships with our staff, administrators, parents, everyone, all of those educational partners.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I went more down the quote line because I love quotes. And I've been thinking, a friend of mine, Carmen Smith at the University of Vermont, shared a quote by Peter Sullivan with me a few months ago. And I keep thinking about it. And he said, all teachers already teach as well as they can. So I thought about this a lot. And one of the things I think a lot about and worry about is how competitive our schools are. And I think this quote is really helpful to remind us that it's not the teacher's jobs to be making judgments about their students. Wherever you are in the moment, that's where you are. And so what I think the teacher's job is to not make judgments about that, and then to think about how they can move their students or the teachers that they're working with, like forward in their journey towards becoming the teacher that they want to be.
Nice. Nice. I like that. City, I don't think you had this question the first time around. So we're changing too. So here we go.
So I went the word route and I had the word inspire. And so just one of the reasons that I wanted to go into becoming a teacher and even a teacher educator was to inspire the next generation of students and teachers. But even more than that, just through this journey of the past 5 to 7 years, I think I can truly say that my students or like the teachers that I've worked with have inspired me more than I've probably inspired them. So I think even just that the ways that they contribute and the ideas that they bring to our classroom discussions and just the inspiration that I can gain from them and all the things that I've been able to learn from them throughout this process.
Nice. Nice. I know recently Dusty and I kind of went through the same exercise as well. I'm going to ask him in a second. But like just in the season that we're currently in right now, or it's kind of like the ending season, the word that I've been using lately is present. Cause like, I feel like there's with all the different distractions and things going on, like, you know, like you talking about that community and relation, like you need to be present in order to like actually do that. They can't be like living in a distracted space. I don't know. Dusty, you got anything that's been percolating lately with regards to something that's centering your teaching to math teachers? Threw you a curveball here.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So I'm teaching a class, and I'm actually right before this, I was grading, working on grading a set of final exams. No, they're not graded yet. And one of the essay topics was, what advice would you give a student that was taking this class in the future? So I was really kind of poking at my students in my geometry class to reflect on their experiences as a teacher, as a learner, and those things. And the theme that was coming out a lot from there was just, I think the idea that the ideas that you were mentioning here, you know, being present, there was actually some really good talk about community that these future teachers were learning about. Like one student said, just show up to class because you're going to learn everything you need in here. Plus, all of us here are trying to learn together, and it is better when you are here than when you're not here. And I was just really inspired by that comment, you know, in addition to people saying you already paid money to go here. Yeah. You might as well get your money's worth. But just the idea that, you know, we're building those communities. And this is for people who don't know, this is a content course in Euclidean geometry. Like, it's required for people that are going to be secondary teachers, but it's not a education-y course. But I was really super pleased that some of what I was like oozing out, what wasn't part of the required curriculum was really hitting students that they matter. And, that the relationships between students and teacher are really important.
Nice.
For their future classrooms as well.
They were catching what you were throwing. That's good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So speaking of, that nice transit, Dusty, unplanned, but perfect transition into more advice. So, Justin, you've got a colleague, they're just starting out. They're like, hey, I'm just stepping into this role of being a teacher of math teachers. I'm going to be stepping into math teacher education. What advice would you give to that, someone else starting out in this role?
My first thought is run, but I know that that's probably not the answer.
Like, stay fit, run, get that cardio up. Yeah.
That's right. Take care of yourself. I really think that you need to get to know your students, right? And you need to know their names. You need to build those relationships with students. Oftentimes I hear, you know, sometimes my professor doesn't know my name, right, in the class, and I get the, hey, you, right? And I don't think that that helps people, like Dusty say, feel like they matter, right? And I feel like that they're connected. And Siddhi kind of talked about this too, about those relationships are important because we're all learning and working together. So I think getting to know your students is really important.
Nice. Any other of that initial advice that you would give to someone starting off in this role?
One of the things I was thinking about, kind of in the lines, but instead I was thinking like how to keep it personal, the work that you do, and really just being true to who you are. And so when I got into this field, I was really driven by something that happened to me when I was a student. And these 2 years of elementary school really shaped all the work that I've done in my career. In third grade, I had a teacher and I received very low grades. And because of our interactions, I just felt like I was stupid and worthless. And then later I had a teacher in fifth grade and she really inspired me to believe that I could be a good student and that I could do anything that I wanted to do. And so this experience led me to understand that it's not about the student and who they are and what they know. It's really about the teacher. And so I've used that throughout my whole career to drive the work that I've done to try to understand better, like how we can create the environment where teachers can inspire students to thrive and grow.
Nice. Nice. I like it. Any others?
Thank you.
So mine was kind of actually building off of both of those. So focusing on the people who we have the opportunity to work with and learn from. So I think so often, like, our role as teacher educators becomes also about like some of the research or the publications or just the administrative things. And I think sometimes we get so caught up with some of those numbers, like number of publications, number of presentations, know, journal metrics and all of those things. And while I think those are all important for our, like, our careers, we shouldn't lose sight of the people who we're working with. And I think that needs to be valued above and beyond everything else.
Nice.
Yeah. And I think building on valuing the people, one thing that I, like what I would say is, like, I think about a lot of the things I'm doing all the time in my interactions with my students is almost modeling what I would hope that they would do with their students. So, like, when I'm reaching out because they weren't in class and I'm like giving them grace because they say, oh, I'm not going to turn it in on time because X, Y, Z, like being very intentional, that also being like, yes, I am doing this, but I'm also really hoping that you are seeing the grace I'm giving you. And then you, one day you will extend it to your students in your classroom. And so it's not just the like things that happen in that. At MSU, we have 3-hour classes in that 3-hour block I have with them, but also like in the emails and all like the Zoom calls and these other things that we do are chances for me to model what I would hope they would do with their students one day.
Yeah, this job is so meta. Like, I have to think about what you're doing and like, yeah, what example am I showing? I don't know. Dusty, do you ever get caught up in that? Like this like idea of thinking about like every action, how am I modeling? What am I doing for everyone?
Isn't that part of being a parent?
That too. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, you did this, Dad.
Yeah. Yeah. I learned it by watching you.
Yeah. So y'all have done some great work. And again, we're going to talk later about shoulder tapping and like getting in and engaging in the work of the organization, but kind of, I'm impressed by what y'all have been doing. So like when you have a research study that you did on the annual conference, like you use the annual conference as a data set. I'll let you form it. So what changes, like, well, what did you do and what changes are already in place based off the recommendations that came about from this study? So Sydney, you want to take that?
Sure. So I think one of the goals that we had as an equity committee was to analyze and understand the equity-related work that has been presented at AMT annual conferences. And so we looked at the data from the past 5 years. So that was, I believe, 2019 to 2023, which is what we had access to at the time. And to do this, we use both the qualitative and quantitative methods to look through the data. And primarily, we double coded each of the sessions using 4 main categories. And those categories were type of research, equity and social justice focus, research participants, and content connections. And through this, our goal is really to just inform the field about the type of research that has been engaged in and presented on, with a focus on the equity, since that's what our committee's role is. And just what were also the gaps in the research and where do we go from here? And so as we were coding these, this was last fall that we were coding this, one of the things that we really noticed was we were struggling with some of the session descriptions, because we were like, we've read through this like 40-word description multiple times and we have absolutely no idea what it says. And it was just, some of them were very general and it was like, this could be a presentation on everything or anything, or, you know, just things like that. So we were also thinking about, like, as an attendee, each of us have gone to AMT conferences, and when we're looking at sessions for, you know, which one do we want to attend? We're like, some of these might be too general and might not really give attendees an idea of, you know, what am I going into the session with? And so kind of based on that, we had a recommendation, which I'll go into later on. And then we also, one of the other things that we noticed as we were doing this coding was there wasn't enough research about school admin leaders and coaches. Mm-hmm. And these are all people that support teachers once they leave our teacher education programs. And so it's critical that they are also involved in these spaces. And I think in general, AMT has been really trying to bring more of those voices into our conference spaces. So we just wanted to also think about how do we intentionally make sure that that is happening. And so following our presentation at AMT conference this past February, We also got some wonderful feedback from our attendees. And we wrote up, so as a committee, we wrote up a list of recommendations that were sent to the board as well as to the conference committee for the 2025 conference. And so Nirmala Naresh, who is the conference chair, I believe she shared a few of those changes mm-hmm. when she came on the podcast a couple weeks ago. But just to kind of recap some of those major changes that came as a result was the description was 40 words and it has now been changed to 100 words. And the call for proposals also includes some guidance on what should be included in this description. So we wanted this guidance to serve as a reminder for those of us who have presented multiple times, but also more importantly, we wanted to really bring in new voices. And I think sometimes when, like, I remember like in my early years of writing proposals, I was like, I have no idea where to even start. Mm. So we were hoping that through some of those guidance, like it really brings in more teacher educators and especially those who may be newer to the field or may not be in traditional research roles. So that includes graduate students, supervisors, district coaches, administrators, clinical faculty, et cetera. And just potentially helping them to submit successful proposals. And then there was also a change in call for proposals to expand the definition of teacher educators. And so throughout the call, there was more intention, like more of an intentional effort to include coaches, specialists, community college educators, and people in similar roles who all directly and indirectly impact teacher education. So those were some of the big changes that were as a result of some of our work on the through this research. And we also had a lot of other recommendations that were more long-term that the conference committee, as well as the board, were like with most of them, they were very open to accepting those ideas, but they just shared that there wasn't enough time to make those changes for the 2025 conference proposal system. And so they were definitely going to take some time to delve into that and integrate some of those for future conferences. And so currently we're also working on a connections paper where we're going to share more results from this study as well as just some more of our recommendations.
Nice. I love taking ownership of the work of the committee and thinking like, okay, so how do we advance things for so that and to make it a more inclusive and welcoming space for everyone that like, for those of you that don't know, the mission of AMTE is to promote the improvement of math teacher education K-12. That's it. And so like, do we have all the voices represented in that space? And I think the work that you're doing is making our conference space at least more open to more voices being heard. And I just, and also too, so that people, when they go to the conference, they know what they're actually attending. Right. So all that. Awesome. Awesome. But that's not all. Y'all have been doing some more work as well. So even the Equity Book Club that you started that, I think Dusty, during the pandemic, we had that no guilt book club because we had nothing to do and we were just figuring out.
We had some good rounds of that. That was good.
We did. We did have some good. So I was so excited to see that y'all did a book club. So what happened this past fall? What are the future plans? How can folks get involved? Barbara, you want to give some insight on that?
The Equity Committee last year had the first Equity Book Club in the fall of 2023. And so we started out by trying to get some of the members' voices to see how they might want to participate in this book club and in particular what book they might want to read. And so we gave some possible book choices and the book that was selected was Choosing to See: A Framework for Equity in the Math Classroom by Pamela Seda and Kendall Brown. And so the book club, we had a structure where we met one time a month for 2 hours, and we had two different session times each time we met. So people could attend, like maybe they couldn't attend like a later in the day session. So we had one session that was earlier in the day. And we ended up with about 15 to 20 people who are regularly attending our sessions. And the book, I don't know if I mentioned this, the book club met for 4 months. So for me, the book club was a very powerful experience. And one of the things that I really loved was just getting the opportunity to get to know more AMTE members, in particular, like people from different universities and across the United States, because their experience was just really informative to help me think about my own work. And another thing that stood out to me is when I went to the annual conference and I saw people who were in the book group, it was just like this really powerful experience. And I just felt super connected to them, and it helped me enjoy the conference a lot more. So I really liked having that experience of the book club. And the last thing I wanted to mention is during the book club meetings, people were like routinely sharing resources that they had, like videos they shared or books they've read or things that they do in their class. And we tried to keep a list of these and provide them for the members. And that was probably what was most powerful to me, because I would leave each session with like very specific ideas of something I might want to do in my class or something I want to read or something that I could use with my graduate students, maybe some research articles that I might use with my graduate students. So we're really proud of how the first book club started off, and we're excited to build on this experience. So we're planning another book club for the fall of 2024, and we're going to be sending out information to all the AMTE members really soon. And included in this will be a list of potential books, and we want to get people's opinions about which books they'd most likely want to read and when might be a good time for them to meet. We plan to run this session from early September, once a month, until early December, and we would love for as many members as possible to participate. So please be on the lookout for emails from us about this opportunity.
That's awesome. I love the low, it just creates this, hey, you just want to join in and read a book, like, and meet other members, like just a low bar of entry to get engaged and meet other folks. I mean, I just love that. I don't know if there's any sneak preview. Yeah, any ideas about book? Like any ones you're throwing out there, or is this too early? We'll hold off. We'll hold off. Wait for that email, folks. Wait for that email. All right. And I think so. We've been talking periodically about shoulder tapping a lot, and so shoulder tapping as the importance of it, of helping others see their ability or potential to share their perspective. And I think, again, the book club is a great place where maybe someone who didn't think of themselves as could step into AMTE leadership and like, hey, maybe you'd be great on this committee. And like, now then you have that connection. So when you see him at the conference, to do some shoulder tap. Anyway, shoulder tapping as the ability or potential to share their perspective and expertise to advance the field or advance the organization. Do you have any advice for someone who is looking to shoulder tap, or do you have a story of even your being shoulder tapped? I don't know, Justin, you got anything on that?
Well, like you said, if you're listening to this podcast, Barbara just shoulder tapped you, everyone.
There you go.
Podcast, Barbara just did that. We highly encourage you to attend. It's a great community and relationship building activity. The book club, you'll meet people from all over the country to share ideas. And then that might lead, you know, into other committee work. It might lead into other research. It might lead into other teaching opportunities. So I do highly encourage the Equity Book Club. I believe AMTE sends out a fun survey that you can fill out about committees that you want to join. And I highly recommend that you do that. I did fill out one. And I believe that's one way that I was shoulder tapped to be on the equity committee. So I highly recommend members sign up for those. And then also the AMTE community circles that meet throughout the year. That's also another great opportunity to meet other people, tell people what your interests are, kind of get your foot in the door if you're new. And they happen all the time, and there's lots of different contents and teaching strategies that you can kind of lean into there. So those are some ideas for me to either be shoulder tap and then be willing, right? Be willing to be shoulder tap, right? Be willing to join something that may be outside of your comfort zone. So,
yeah. And I think the episode before last, when we were talking about shoulder tap, we, there was talk about like the intentional shoulder tapping. And I think even the work of this committee, you've thought about what voices are not being captured within our conference, right? How do we make a more welcoming environment? And so like even thinking about how can I mindfully and intentionally shoulder tap, like, hey, we need more voices, more of your voice in these spaces. And so making sure, being cognizant of that when we're shoulder tapping as well. Anyone else have a story of shoulder tapping or that they'd like to share? Got a little insight. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, absolutely, Justin.
So I don't know if I'm supposed to share this, but you can edit it out. But one of the things that we found in our research was that in the equity strand, there was zero early childhood sessions, right? There was zero early childhood sessions. So like you said, that research is highlighting, you know, what's not there. So we're looking at, yes, what's there, but we're also looking at, hey, what's not there? So, hey, early childhood educators, right? And early childhood math teacher educators, we want to be inclusive. We want to hear your voice too.
Right. Yeah. We need to make sure that's out there. Yeah,
that's staying in the podcast, Justin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Justin, I really love that idea. I was like thinking about something along those lines, because a lot of times I think we think of shoulder tapping to get people into leadership, but I think we want to also use it, like use our privilege and position that we have to just help people join the conversation. So it could be as simple as saying to someone like, oh, here's this special interest group. Maybe you'd be interested in joining it, or come to this webinar we're having, or even just stopping to ask someone like, tell me a little bit about the teaching that you're doing. And a small gesture like this could really help bring someone into new opportunities to learn and grow.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think building on that, Joel already talked about, we met through the manuscript review group.
That's right.
I hope they're still doing it. I feel like I'm not in a position to make an announcement. Fingers crossed they're going to do it for 2025. Yeah. If they are, highly recommend you do it. Submit something. If you're a graduate student, like, it gives you an opportunity to meet people outside of your university and make some of those connections to then, like, for me, it made the conference not feel as scary because I like knew people besides the faculty from my university who they're wonderful, but like they're at the conference to also see their friends. So they're not necessarily trying to hang out with the grad students they see every day. So like, it gives you a chance to meet other people. And then also for faculty who like can be the mentors, like the good chance to shoulder tap and be like, oh, hey, I hear about the work you're doing. You might be great on this thing that I know about, but maybe you don't because you're new to the field.
Yeah.
So that's my pitch for the manuscript review group outside of like the amazing feedback for your actual paper you're working on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also to just, and Justin, you talked about the survey, like there's a volunteer form, it's on the website, but we will also put a link in the show notes for that. So that, I mean, it's just basically like, it's acknowledging like, hey, I'm willing to step in spaces that, again, you might not know what it all entails, but again, there's people around you that can help you, like, hey, here's what it means to be on the equity committee, right? And like, here's what it means to fill in this role, and like, we've got an organization for that. And so thank you all for the work that you've done so far, and I'm looking forward to the future work as well. So hey, we're not all just math teacher educators. We have some other stuff we'd like to do. So what is something you like to do outside of your role as a teacher of math teachers? So Sheila, what besides doctoral work and teaching math teachers, what else you got going on?
So I'm also a parent. I have two kids, but my 5-year-old just learned to ride a bike, a two-wheeler. And so that's something that I, growing up, and like, we've always been like, we go on like long bike trips where it's like, we've never had to camp off our bike. I don't want to carry my clothes with me, but like long full day bike trips. And so it's exciting to get to like, she's not there yet. We're doing like a couple miles around the town, but like we're getting there. And so it's exciting for me to be able to share like my love of bike riding with her.
Nice.
Awesome.
Nice. There you go. Others? What do you like to do? Justin, what do you like to do outside of
Well, I like to play volleyball and pickleball, but I really think it's important that everyone has this opportunity to like mentally like break away. Yes. I'm sure everyone's nodding. I know you can't see that on the podcast, but to mentally break away and take a break. So I think it's really important that there's some self-care happening throughout the year for everybody, and taking care of yourself, whether that's being with family and friends, playing a sport, sleeping, whatever it happens to be. I just think that's self-care is super important.
Yeah. I recently got back after a break for the pandemic. I got back into jujitsu. And speaking of breaking, and like you have to be fully present while someone's trying to like move your arm in places that it shouldn't go. So like I really enjoy that. So that's good. City, what about you? What do you like to do outside of teaching math teachers?
So definitely spending time with family and friends. And I think something that I've been spending a lot of time on this past couple months is I'm getting married this summer. Hey. And so
nice
planning that's been taking up like every free moment that I have outside of just teaching, doing all of that stuff.
Yeah. So talk about project-based learning. Come on now. Yes. There we go. There you go.
Very much been project-based learning, which is things being thrown everywhere. And like, we did not expect that this would take that much time.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Barbara, how about you?
I really like to do anything that helps me connect more with nature. And so I also have two first graders, and we just recently went on our first family camping trip, which was very exciting. I used to camp tons when I was younger, and I'm just really excited now to try and bring them into that. Nice. And this summer we have plans to go to Iceland, and we're going to travel around in an RV. So I think that will give us plenty of opportunity to connect with nature.
There you go. Awesome. So. Yeah. Dusty, you got any new hobbies? Are you going?
I have a graduating high school senior. And so this month is pretty much every night we're doing something to, you know, just try to focus on celebrating and, you know, treasuring these moments that we have, and also just getting through AP exams. That's so
right. Yeah. So crying. You're going to be crying.
A little bit of crying.
Yeah. There you go. All right. So let's just wrap this up. So we're going to have lots to share in the show. One, this is going to be released. I think there'll still be time for people to put in a proposal to AMTE. So let's promote that. The volunteer form that Justin talked about, we're going to link to that. I think there's a page on the AMTE site for community circles. We can link to that as well, because we discussed that. Anything else to promote or share? And this could be something from the community or something from individuals, anything people want to promote or share with folks, resources, whatever. We'll put a link to City's previous episode, because that was good.
One thing we didn't mention about the equity committee that I'll just add on, the work that we talked about today, we're trying to continue this on, and same with the research and improving the proposal process. We're going to be working on that this year, but we're also really interested in trying to gather more information from members of AMTE to help inform like the policies and programs that we have and what we want to focus our attention on. So that's kind of our main focus for the upcoming year, is to really like gather member voices and use that to help in our in the work that we do.
Awesome.
Yeah. Especially given we have new long-term goals. And so thinking about how is the equity committee serving those new long-term goals and supporting math teacher educators.
Right. And I mean, that people are seeing like that the work that y'all are doing is now being put into action and seeing those things. So that's great. Awesome. Well, thank y'all. And, thanks again to everyone out there for listening to the Teaching Math Teaching podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to the podcast. We hope that you are able to take action on something you just heard, lots of stuff there, and interact with other math teacher educators. Also, did you know that AMTE has another podcast, the Mathematics Teacher Educator Podcast? The MTE podcast accompanies the latest edition of the Mathematics Teacher Educator Journal and has authors discuss their work that they submitted for publication. Find a link to the MTE podcast in the show notes for this episode.